the inside. She got the scoop on the ones to watch, on the ones that's hot. No one can do it quite like Caroline. Caroline. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
Welcome to Hyper Caroline Hobby. I am your host, Caroline Hobby. I know music, I know people, and I know the questions you want to ask. So let's get hyper! Heads up, these are adults having adult conversations, so there could be adult content. This week is Ashley Campbell, and I love this little songbird. She is so funny and hilarious and beautiful and sweet. She's just an incredible person. She's the daughter of the legendary Glenn Campbell. She has a record deal on Big Machine. Her first single out was I'll Do the Remembering, which is a tribute to her father and Alzheimer's that he has been struggling with. And she just has so much awesome things to talk about, and she's such a beautiful soul. So y'all welcome Ashley Campbell. Ashley Campbell.
Hello.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here with you.
I'm happy to be here with you.
On this rainy day.
Yes.
Nashville's been like gloom city.
Yeah, it has. I miss the snow, honestly, because I'm from Phoenix. And so I grew up like around cactuses and desert stuff. So I'm just so excited by snow still.
But what about this mush? Are you excited about all this mush?
I mean, being from the desert, I even like rain. Like, rain's a good thing.
Because you're not used to it.
Yeah, I'm not used to it. And when it did rain, it was like, yay, our crops will grow.
Yeah. Well, this has been a little much, but not complaining because Nashville's the best city ever.
It sure is.
Okay, so I want to start off with a little game.
Okay.
So I'm going to say some words, and you say the first word that comes to mind.
Oh, I love these.
Okay. Frodo.
Doggy.
That's her dog. And he's cute. What kind of dog is he?
He's a miniature schnauzer, and he's staring at us right now.
Oh my God, he's looking at us.
His tail's like, going.
He's like, are you going to call me? Are you gonna ca- I heard my name. Okay. Pasta.
Pesto.
Banjo.
Badass.
You're a badass banjo player.
Thank you.
Yes. Sushi.
Absolutely delicious.
Tattoos.
More.
You want more?
I do.
How many do you have?
I have one.
And tell me about your tattoo, because it's special to you.
It is. It's a tattoo of a knife that actually my dad has on his arm, kind of on his bicep. And he did it himself when he was little. He was like 13 or 14. He either did it himself or his friend did it just with like a needle and ink. So like,
ow,
that's pretty awesome.
He wanted that.
He did, yeah. And there's another line on his forearm where he wanted to do another knife that the tips of the knives were touching, but it hurt too much. So he stopped and there's just like half of a line there.
Self tattoo again?
Yeah.
So every tattoo your dad has is self tattooed.
Yes.
And your dad is Glenn Campbell.
Yes, he is.
By the way, which is, you know, no big deal. Envy. Okay, so you replicated that.
Yeah,
on your
so
arm.
I got like a cleaner version of it. You know,
why didn't you have him do it?
My dad.
Yeah,
I probably wouldn't have an arm anymore.
Okay, sexy.
I don't know. So many things come to mind.
Just blurt them out.
Oh man. Oh man, I can't even think of it.
You know you got one.
It's been a while.
Are you saying you're single?
I am single, yeah.
Oh, okay. Ashley Campbell on the market.
Yeah, wow.
I'm gonna match make you.
Yeah, please do. I'm here.
You would be such a catch. You know why? No one can handle you. You're too much.
They can't handle me. Like most people don't make it past a first date.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I get bored. I get so bored.
What bores you about dating?
Guys that can't make me laugh. If you can't make me laugh, yeah, that's it. It's just over.
And you need to have your shit together.
Yeah, I do.
No, you need to have your, like, they need to have their shit together.
Exactly, because I do.
Because you have your shit together.
Yeah.
That's what I'm
saying. I like guys that have something going on, that are passionate about something, that are totally pursuing that, you know?
Yes.
Like, confidence and passion and knowing where you're going is so important, you know?
You don't want to wander.
Yeah, exactly.
I hear you. So it's really hard to find. Are you looking for a creative type? Do you like the creatives?
Definitely like the creatives, but I've always wondered what it would be like to date someone that wasn't in music, but that had a good taste in music. You know, I think that's the most important thing, but like, you know,
like an agent.
I mean, yeah, that would be cool. Someone in the music business, but it's hard to date someone that does exactly what you do because you find yourself either judging what they do because you're kind of qualified to do that, mm-hmm. or, you know, so Yeah, it's pretty funny.
I know. I hear you. Dating in Nashville. But now that I know you're single, I'm going to work on my matchmaking.
Help.
Okay, I need to get more details after this interview. Yeah. What we're really looking for. Okay, gross.
Dry skin.
Oh, yeah, right?
Right?
I hate it when I have dry skin.
Yeah, you got to moisturize.
Dry hands drive me bananas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I use Aquaphor. Ever since I got my tattoo, they tell you to put Aquaphor on it, and I'd never used it before. But it's like this miraculous stuff that I use as chapstick now, and I use it as hand cream. Like, it's amazing.
Do you put it on your full body?
No, that would be pretty greasy. But sometimes coconut oil. Hey, going back to sexy, coconut oil.
Coconut oil. You can use coconut oil for a lot of things.
It's like a good massage oil, and it smells like coconut.
Uh-huh.
It's a win-win, and it's healthy.
And then you can just eat it.
It's so good.
So, I mean, get a massage, and then have someone lick your back.
Exactly.
Because I know that's what you're
doing. That is sexy.
Okay, crush.
Oh, man. Gosh. I think Sam Hunt's really cute.
Oh, right.
He's total crush. Yeah. I mean, I don't know
can
him at all.
Can we hook that up?
Oh, yeah, please.
I don't know him.
Yeah, he can take my time.
He can take your time. We know enough people who know him who can make this happen.
Well, hey, I'll give him a first date.
Oh, right. So what happens after the first date? Like, you go out with him, and then they're boring. But, like, someone like Sam Hunt, he wouldn't be boring.
I don't think he would. I think he'd be pretty interesting.
I think he'd be really interesting.
Yeah.
Do you think it'd be hard to date someone who has a really big schedule? Because you
kind
of have a big schedule,
No, because
too.
I do, too. Like, I think that's ideal, that you both have something going on, and so one of you's not sitting at home twiddling your thumbs.
Right.
You know?
And you don't mind, like, flying cross-country to see each other for, like, a day.
Nah.
Travel's no problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Keep it spicy.
Yeah, just text me.
Just text. Yeah. Okay, music.
Truth.
Okay, I love that. So you obviously grew up in a very musical family, your dad being Glenn Campbell. Yeah. Did he put an instrument in your hand when you were a child, or did you just see it happening in front of you and you knew you wanted to be a part? How did you get your love for it?
My mom and dad put me and my brothers into piano lessons when we were very little. Like, I started in first grade, so I've always been playing an instrument. My brother Cal started playing drums when he was 2.
What?
And I thought that was really cool. I was like, why didn't I start that early? And then I saw a video.
Can people even walk at 2?
They can drum at 2. And then I saw a video of me playing the drum set when I was like 2, and I was terrible at the drums. But it was really cute. I mean, I think I was, like, very basic. But, like, my brother was like, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
Does he still play the drums?
Oh, yeah. He's one of the best drummers I've ever seen.
Which I want to talk about. You went on tour with your dad.
Yeah.
And he went with you.
Mm-hmm.
But before you do that, the instrument you picked up was banjo, right?
That's right.
And
yeah.
You're a finger-picking fool.
Well, thank you.
How did you get so good? And you're a female and you're sexy, which is, like,
hey, no.
A big combination. Because a lot of, like, badass female musicians aren't sexy. You're so hot.
Thank you.
And you're so good.
Well, I started playing guitar when I was 15, and I was just kind of okay at it. I didn't really work very hard at it because I just didn't.
Wasn't your
love? I didn't have it yet.
Okay.
But then when I was in college, I started playing banjo for a play that I was in with my university theater department. And I just completely fell in love with banjo and whatever comes from that and just picking. And I started listening to bluegrass.
That's
and
hard.
I just got really into it. And so, like, something just clicked in me. And then I started playing banjo more and getting better at that. And then I went back to guitar and started doing a lot of finger picking with guitar because I kind of figured it out with the banjo.
Wow.
And so that kind of opened up a whole new world for me.
Finger picking is really difficult. Do you have to sit there for hours and go over and over the same, like, movements?
I did, yeah. It's always, finger picking has always come really easily to me, just like singing harmonies. It's just, I just kind of
really?
Hear it. Yeah.
Oh.
My dad, definitely got that from my dad. He always kind of prided himself. He's like, my kids can sing harmonies.
Can your mother sing harmonies?
Yeah, they're great.
It's just born into
it. It just happens. So finger picking, I definitely had to work at it, but I think it came pretty easily to me. Yeah.
So did you know you wanted to do music?
Not till I started playing banjo.
Really?
Yeah. I wanted to be an actress, and I was doing sketch comedy and improv in Hollywood.
Oh,
yeah.
You did, like, Crazy American
Crazy
Idol.
Mary. Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. So I was in a sketch group.
What does that mean?
So, like, Saturday Night Live, you know, they do sketches that they write that are funny, like characters and things like that.
I want to do a side note, though, because you are so stunning and you come from such an amazing family and you're so talented. People might be surprised that you're so hilarious. You have this really goofy, funny side to you. that is your sketch, which is amazing.
Well, thank you. Yeah. So I did this video with my friend who had a couple successful YouTube videos on his page. So it was a fake American Idol audition. And I made up this character called Crazy Mary, and we used footage from an actual Crazy Mary video online. So it's me spliced in with actual footage of Simon Cowell and Paula Abdul. And I'm just acting nuts in front of them and singing. I'm playing this.
A little example.
Yeah. I'm playing this crazy character. There's something wrong with her. and she's doing a Randy Newman impression. That's how she sings. So it's like, you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.
Did you get picked on American Idol?
I did not.
Simon said no.
Simon said no. Simon was scared of me.
What did he say to you?
He said I needed violin music behind me, which is what I have now. So he was right.
Did it get some hits on YouTube?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I think at one point we had about 13 million hits.
How do you get a video to go viral?
It just did. People go, that's freaking funny. And they pass it on. And I was actually starting to get recognized on the streets of Hollywood as Crazy Mary. Like, I was standing in line at a Starbucks and someone was like, hey, you're Crazy Mary.
So does anything come from being a YouTube sensation?
Nothing's come from this except just I got a lot of satisfaction knowing that people saw it. And I think I'm so proud of being Crazy Mary. Like, the first time I thought someone recognized me was actually my friend who actually made the video. I was walking down Melrose and he was driving past and he saw me and he thought it'd be funny to yell, hey, it's Crazy Mary. So I was like, hey, I got recognized. And then I found out it was him.
I'm sure though, a lot of people know Crazy Mary.
Yeah, a lot of people have seen
it.
It's pretty funny.
They can't come up to you. They're nervous.
And even recently, I was at some another Starbucks at
You love Starbucks.
Yeah, near Galax. Where was that? Gosh.
Where's Galax?
Galax.
What city are we in?
Man, where were we?
California?
Virginia?
Virginia. Who knows?
Something like that.
Life as a musician.
Traveling, you just know the place. You're just like, I don't know where on the map. But anyway, the guy that worked at the Starbucks, he's like, "Hey, I've seen you on YouTube."
Oh, you're like, I'm in Galax. How'd you see me on YouTube?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so before you were going to do music, you're going to do stand-up comedy.
Not stand-up. That's sketch comedy. Yeah, I liked writing comedy, yeah. And I would have loved to have been like a writer on a TV show, or like if I could have written on Saturday Night Live, that would have been great. But yeah, I ended up, so I was doing this improv school called The Groundlings in LA, which is like my favorite. They're amazing. They're such good training.
Did you grow up in LA?
No, I didn't. I moved there
Phoenix.
I moved there when I was 18. Okay. But right when I was taking the third level class there, my dad was going to go on a tour to Australia and New Zealand. And it was right after I graduated from college. And I said, hey, can I go as like a vacation? And it sounds like a cool place to go. And he said, sure, but you should play banjo on Gentle on My Mind.
Okay, so that's kind of a big deal. Because even though he's your dad and he loves you, you actually have to be good to play in Glenn Campbell's band. Like,
yeah,
he's not
definitely
doing a favor.
Yeah, I was just like, are you serious?
That's
really
a huge honor.
And then
so he asked you to play banjo.
He asked me to play banjo on Gentle on My Mind. And then his musical director, TJ Kenster, who played piano in his band, he said, I've always wanted to have the strings parts in our show. Can you play keyboard and do all the strings parts on a keyboard? And I was like, sure, that's awesome. So, and me, like, at that point, I mean, probably at this point too, but like, piano wasn't my main instrument, but I had actually just memorized an entire musical score because I was a...
Who are you?
I play by ear. I play by ear. I was an understudy for a piano player in my friend's comedy musical based on the Fellowship of the Rings.
So you're like a musical freak of nature.
I might be. yeah. So I learned that whole score just because I wanted to, and it was super fun. And right after that, I got asked to do all the strings parts for my dad's show. So I was pretty like hot on the piano, like I felt. But I still had to like go through and like, I felt like a kindergartner writing out the notes in the music for my dad's show. Like, I couldn't just read the notes. So I was like, so I wrote like B, A flat. Like,
what was it like playing in his band? Were you nervous? Because now you're working with
him. I was super nervous at first.
Are you scared he's going to like get mad at you and yell at you if you messed up?
I wasn't scared he was going to yell at me. Like, I honestly don't think he would have noticed because it was strings parts and they were kind of low in his mix.
Yeah.
But, like, I was just, I was nervous because I was just a little shaky, you know, and I, but it was great. He was super nurturing. The whole band was super nurturing. And it was just really cool to have that experience with him. And
that's a whole other side to see.
Yeah, exactly. It was definitely a trial by fire. And that's kind of where I got my, my wings as far as being on stage.
So is that, that's where you learned how to be on stage, was touring with your dad.
Yep, exactly. My first ever professional show was the State Theater in Auckland, New Zealand. So it was like thousands of people.
Oh my gosh.
At least, yeah, almost a thousand.
Did you get the bug then? Were you like, I have to perform?
I was terrified. I was very scared. At that point, I was just like, I got to get through this tour. So
but I think then he asked you to come back for his farewell tour. And play, and you played the whole tour, right?
I did. I played for him for about 3 years.
So you went on the road with your dad and your brothers, both brothers?
Or one brother? At first, we were still...
Or Goodbye Tour.
What the Goodbye Tour, yeah.
So is that his final tour?
His final tour, yeah. My brothers joined on for the Goodbye Tour, and that lasted about 2 years, which was longer than we expected. But we had so much fun. I got to tour the UK twice.
Really? Where's your favorite places that you went?
Oh, man. I had so much fun in Brisbane, Australia, and I also just love London, and I love going up to, like, smaller towns in Scotland and Ireland, because you just get to explore all these really cool villages and stuff.
I know, it's majestic over
there. Yeah, the architecture is amazing.
Did you ever get tired of being with your family that much?
No, not really.
Did y'all get along?
We get along pretty well, and, you know, we had our space, so it was fun.
What's the dynamic of you and your dad and your brothers? And your mom, your family dynamic. Let's throw her in there because she's a badass.
Well, my mom, bless her heart, like...
She's a rock of your... She's a rock,
she's
right?
a rock, absolutely. So the poor thing, like, even if she wanted to come hang out with us, if we were all going out to dinner, like, if my dad didn't want to go, she would have to stay back with him and because he had Alzheimer's. So she was basically, like, with him 24-7. Like, occasionally, like, someone on the tour, like, all of us would band together and be like, okay, you're going to watch Glenn and she's going to go out to dinner and have a good, fun night off, you know? So that was kind of fun. We were just like a big family. So it was great. And it was great to have my brothers with me.
Did y'all get along?
We did. I mean, we'd have little fights here and there. But overall, we got along. Yeah.
Is it just three of you guys?
Yeah.
Okay. So all of y'all are musical.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I know there's serious music in the genes, that's still impressive. They're all musical. Yeah. What do they play?
Cal, my oldest brother, he plays drums. He's the one that started when he was two. Okay. So he's amazing. But he also plays guitar and piano, and he sings really well. But he's he went to engineering school, so he's a...
So he sings, plays, and produces?
He's like a whiz with Pro Tools. He produces, he engineers, he has a studio in Agoura Hills, California, and he just is a total 100% badass musical genius.
Dang.
And he does his own thing. And then Shannon, my middle brother, he plays piano and guitar, and he sings, and... he lives out here in Nashville, and he plays with me in my band.
And you guys were a duo for a hot second.
We were, yeah. Yeah.
Was that fun?
It was super fun. And that's why he's still in my band. Like, we just, even though I kind of wanted to branch off and just do my songs, we still love singing together and playing together, and mm-hmm. we still write together. And so he's very much a part of my musical life.
That's awesome.
And we live together.
I mean, you know, might as well keep it all together.
Yeah.
So you mentioned this Goodbye Tour, and your dad had just been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. How did that affect your family?
It was pretty crazy. It definitely brought us together, I think, because that was, especially for me, like, my brothers had already gone out and been, like, doing their own, like, I'm living alone, I'm, you know, making a way for myself and as an adult, but I had just graduated from college, and so I was kind of, that was the time when I should have gone out and be like, moved somewhere and just lived on my own and started, you know, figuring out what I'm doing with my life. But I kind of just, the responsibility and honor and privilege fell on me to help my mom take care of my dad. So I just kind of said, I'm gonna ride this out. I'm gonna just, because dad's not gonna be around forever, I can go off and be an adult anytime I want, but this is the time that I'm gonna be a daughter.
So are you and your dad really close?
Yeah, absolutely. I lived with them. I guess I've lived with them my whole life, save like 1 or 2 years in college and the year I moved to Nashville. But it's such an honor to know him. And
you like feel the reverence of how impactful your father has been.
Yeah, definitely. And that definitely helped being on tour and seeing the reaction of the fans to him and how powerful his show was and his music. But yeah, as a daughter, it was really great to, it's a privilege to live with him and take care of him.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. And he's had like 9 number one albums. Is that what it is?
Oh, probably.
So
I'm not sure.
So many huge songs. He is the Rhinestone Cowboy.
He is, yeah.
Was it ever weird being his daughter? Did you ever be like, holy shit, my dad's like superstar legend? Or was it just normal?
It was pretty normal. He raised us to be pretty down to earth. Like we grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, so not in Hollywood where everyone was going to know. And mostly it was people's parents that would freak out about him. So like my friends in elementary school and everything, I was just Ashley, you know, they were like, who's that? Oh, your dad was Rock-a-Doodle, that rooster. Cool. You know, so it worked out.
Okay. So then you get to Nashville after you go on the Goodbye tour. Mm-hmm. That ends and you move straight to Nashville?
I did. Yeah.
How did you decide to move to Nashville?
Well, I had already started working with a manager out here, TK Kimbrell, with TKO Artist Management. And So he was, before I moved out here after the Goodbye tour, he had started looking around for my brother Shannon and I to get a publishing deal with our duo. So we auditioned for a couple publishing companies and ended up getting a deal offer from Warner Chappell.
Which is a big deal.
Huge deal.
Getting a publishing deal, and I've been interviewing a lot of interesting, amazing mm-hmm. people. It is a really hard thing because that means you are a great songwriter. No one's going to sign you just because, you know, you come from a cool family and you play instruments. You actually have to be great at writing songs. So that's amazing. Like, you clearly have a talent.
Thank you. I feel incredibly blessed, especially now that I've been in Nashville for almost 3 years and writing songs for Warner Chappell and getting to know their crew and like writing with all these other amazing songwriters, because I'm still relatively new at songwriting. So even as much as I've learned in the last 3 years, looking back at when I auditioned for Warner Chappell, I can't believe they signed me. I'm like, wow.
So did you go in there
like,
and play just, for them?
Like, yeah, like I learned so much. I'm like, thanks for signing me. Thanks for believing in me.
How
it's
long
amazing.
Have you been with them?
About 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And has it felt like a family?
Absolutely. They're wonderful. I feel like I'm totally on the A team. I just love them so much. I'm so proud of them. Like for the last 2 years, they've gotten Publisher of the Year at the ASCAP Awards. So
really?
I'm just like, woo woo.
So do you like co-writing? Because that's a big deal in Nashville is to co-write.
I love co-writing. My favorite way to do it is to start a song on my own. Mm-hmm. Like get the idea that I know the direction I want to go in. And then when I hit a roadblock, I like to go in and present it to a co-writer and they can often open doors that I wouldn't have seen.
Okay, so you like to go in with like kind of like a melody and lyrical idea? Or is it?
Generally, or some, you know, it just depends. But that's my favorite way, I think.
Do you like to see the full, like, do you have to have a concept for the song or can you just start chiseling away? Like, do you need to see the end or can you start and kind of just walk into the dark wall of what the song will be?
It's different every time. It really is. Like, sometimes you'll be writing a song and you'll be stuck on this one part and then you, like, say, like, okay, we have this awesome pre-chorus. We don't know what the chorus is going to be. And then you work trying to create a chorus that is cooler than the pre-chorus. And then you go, well, how about the pre-chorus is the chorus? It's crazy. So it's fun. You just kind of have to be open to changing things.
So last night were the Grammys, mm-hmm. and your family is a part of an amazing documentary about your dad called Glen Campbell, I'll Be Me.
That's right.
And I watched the trailer for that. I want to see the whole movie.
You should definitely watch it.
It looks incredible. Mm-hmm. So how was that movie and how was being a part of it? And you wrote a song, which is mm-hmm. has been a single for you, and it's also on the soundtrack that won a Grammy last night.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell me about all that.
So the documentary follows my dad and us on his Goodbye tour. So he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in 2011, and these amazing filmmakers, James Keach and Trevor Albert, wanted to make a documentary following us on the tour. And so they started out and they thought it was just going to be like 2 weeks and it's done. And then it turned into this huge thing. It 2 years later, 151 shows.
Wow.
You know, we played for Congress in Washington, D.C. I got to speak before Congress on behalf of Alzheimer's.
And what did you do when you were speaking before Congress? Like, what was that scary?
I think it was called a testimony. So I was kind of just like saying my part on why I think Alzheimer's should get more research money.
Why'd you say that? What was your reason?
Well, even now, Alzheimer's like brain diseases in general get just a fraction of the money that say like diseases like AIDS or cancer get, you know.
Really?
Why is that? Just the whole thing. So Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and dementia and anything with the brain, that's just like in the millions versus like AIDS and cancer in the billions.
Why is that?
I don't know. And you know, I mean, all disease really sucks, but like AIDS is livable. You can live with it. It's, you know, but so let's start saving people's lives again with getting rid of Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, you know? So I really think the allocation of money needs to be seriously thought about.
So what happens with Alzheimer's? I haven't really like known very much about it.
Yeah, and that's what the documentary, that's the great thing about the documentary, is that even though it's so sad and that it's following someone with Alzheimer's, it opens up the world of Alzheimer's to a lot of people who otherwise wouldn't have known anything about it. Like before my dad got Alzheimer's, I didn't know anything about it. I mean, you've seen movies where like The Notebook, where she's just this nice old lady and she doesn't remember stuff. And then he tells her a story and she's totally back to normal for a couple minutes. And then she's back to not really, you know, but the real dirty, grungy truth about Alzheimer's people don't know about. So,
what is the truth?
You ask, what is the truth? Alzheimer's takes away more than your memory. It takes away your ability to function as a human being. So you don't just, you're my best friend, I forget who you are, but I can still make my coffee and brush my teeth. You forget how, eventually, if you live with Alzheimer's long enough, you forget how to breathe. You forget how to swallow. And that's how you die from Alzheimer's. But
your brain doesn't naturally do that?
Yep. You can't dress yourself. You can't do anything. You can't use the bathroom. So it gets super hard. And a lot of the times the real victims are the people caring for people with Alzheimer's. And that's another big issue.
So this is kind of an incredible platform. Not only is your dad an incredible musician who's touched the world with his music, he's also bringing huge awareness to Alzheimer's.
Absolutely. And,
is he one of the first big stars to publicly fight this battle?
I think he is. Yeah.
Do you feel kind of proud that this is part of his legacy to help?
I mean, I wish it wasn't, but you know, it is what it is, and I'm super proud that he decided to be a pioneer for the cause. And because a lot of people, there've been, you know, famous people that have gotten Alzheimer's, but they kind of just chose to disappear and keep it private, which is totally their prerogative, you know. And there's no shame in that either. But a lot of people really need their voices heard. So my dad really stepped up there and showed the world what people were going through. And a lot of people who saw the film who are going through Alzheimer's with a loved one or have Alzheimer's, they were like, thank you so much for sharing my story. Cause my dad's story is millions of people's stories, you know, that wasn't told before. So it's really, really an honor to be a part of that and help my dad with that.
Did he make a conscious decision? Like, was there a point where he was like, okay, I'm going for this. I'm going to just talk about it.
He did. Yeah. He's just very honest and he wanted to, I think it all started with he got the diagnosis and he wanted to keep touring. He felt totally fine. He didn't want to stop touring just because he got diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So he's just like, I'm just going to be honest with my fans and everyone and just do my thing, you know, and if I mess up, they'll forgive me.
Totally.
Yeah.
So, and he won a Grammy right when this all happened. Didn't he do a song, or was it the Band Perry that covered his song, or he?
The Band Perry covered his song, Gentle on My Mind.
And they won a Grammy
Won a Grammy with it. And then he and his producer, Julian Raymond, who did the soundtrack album for I'll Be Me, they wrote a song together, which was really Julian taking things that my dad had said and like putting together the lyrics and then showing them to my dad and, you know, getting his okay. And like, how do you like this chord progression? Because my dad, he helped Julian write a Grammy winning song with full blown Alzheimer's. Like, That's talent, you know?
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. So he won a Grammy last year for that. And in 2012, he was given the Lifetime Achievement Award Grammy. And we got to perform on the Grammys in 2012. And that was...
How was that?
One of the best experiences of my life. So yeah, I was in the band. I just played banjo. Oh, Frodo.
Hi, Frodo.
Who's a good boy?
Frodo's a good boy.
You want the attention.
What do you want to say?
He's quiet.
Rub my ears, he says.
Yeah. So I was in the band and, it was really cool cause it was kind of like a little compilation medley. So we had Blake Shelton singing Southern Nights and the band Perry singing Gentle on My Mind. And then my dad came out and sang Rhinestone Cowboy. And
I remember that.
It was so much fun. And it was also for those of us in my dad's band and not just the people that were hired for the Grammys. We were just like, oh my God, what's he going to do? You know, because he's not used to seeing the teleprompter way out there in the middle of the crowd, which is how it is at the Grammys, because he needed a teleprompter.
Oh, right.
And so we were like, is he going to go out there and see all these thousands of people and just totally get sidetracked? And
because it could, because he might.
Yeah, exactly.
Divert his attention.
But it was so amazing. He just went out there and he sang the song and played to the crowd like any other show. It was amazing.
But that's brave, too, on his part, just to go out there and be like you said, if I mess up, people will forgive me because,
yeah,
you know.
Mm-hmm. And then it's funny, in the documentary, it's his friend Dante, who takes him golfing all the time, was the day after the Grammys, I think, taking him golfing. And there's footage of him in the car. And his friend's like, hey, congratulations on winning your Grammy yesterday. And he's like, what? It's like, you won a Grammy yesterday. Oh, yeah, I guess I did.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so.
And that's all in the documentary.
It is, yeah.
Okay, so Julian, who wrote the song that won the Grammy, what was that song called?
It's called I'm Not Gonna Miss You.
And what's that about?
I think that's a cool.
Powerful song.
Yeah, it kind of brings me into my song.
Which
and how
I want to ask you about
your
song.
And how it relates, because it's kind of the opposite of my song. But they kind of go together, so like a puzzle piece.
Show me the two sides of the songs.
Okay, so my dad's song, I'm Not Gonna Miss You, is basically from the perspective of someone with Alzheimer's saying, you know, I'm losing memory. I don't remember you, so I don't miss you. But know that I'm okay, and I want you to be okay.
So
and
that makes you feel,
yeah,
comfort.
Exactly. And then my song, which is called Remembering, which is kind of the opposite, saying like, you don't remember anymore, so I'm going to take care of you and I'm going to do the remembering for you.
Wow.
Yeah. And we didn't even plan that.
that's a really big, powerful moment.
Yeah, definitely.
And I read that you said that with this song, it took you several rounds to write this song. And like a mm-hmm. while, because like you knew it was something special. You knew you had something and you wanted to make sure it was perfect.
Definitely. This is an example of song, my type of songwriting, where I have just kind of a general idea. I didn't even know what I wanted to say at first, but I knew this song was going to be about my dad and that I really wanted to get it right. So I started writing like right after the tour got over. And I was still at my parents' house in Malibu, and I started playing this initial guitar riff, which is just like a descending C riff. And the first line popped into my head, 4 years old, running up the stairs to your bed. And I was like, okay, this is cool. So where does this story go? And I just, you know, kind of played with it a little bit, and I just decided to record it into my phone and hold it for another day and think about it. Because like, I do a lot of writing in my car sometimes. I'll record something and I'll play it and I'll just sing while I'm driving. But so I just like lived with it for a little while. And then I moved to Nashville a couple months later and I went in to write with my good friend Kai Welch. And I said, hey, I've got this song. And he's such a brilliant lyricist and he's got such a good musical sensibility. It just happened that day. We just got really? Together and I was like, this song, and we just wrote it. And went to lunch.
So it came out fast.
It did, yeah.
Did you feel like it was like a gift? Like it was meant to be written?
I think so, yeah. And exactly. I wasn't even thinking like, oh, I gotta get a song on the radio, blah, blah, blah. I was just like, I'm gonna write this song. This song needs to be written.
And that was your first single.
It was, yeah. I never would have dreamed that.
which leads me to, you signed freaking major label record deal with Big Machine.
Mm-hmm.
You're on Dot Records. Big Machine is Taylor Swift's label.
Yeah.
So it's prime time badass label. How did that make you feel and how did that happen? That's a huge accomplishment.
Man, I was kind of doing my own thing and writing and things like that. And I guess so. Scott Borchetta was gonna
runs Big Machine.
Yeah, Scott Borchetta runs Big Machine, and he was gonna put out the soundtrack for the documentary.
Okay.
And so I think, and my song "Remembering" was gonna be on the soundtrack. I think it was already in the movie. So I think that's kind of how he.
So he kind of found you.
He kind of noticed me. Yeah. But before that, I had worked with Big Machine a little bit. I was the banjo player in the Rascal Flatts music video "Banjo."
How'd that happen?
A Facebook message. I got a Facebook message from some agent scout, and they were like, hey, we're looking for female banjo players for a Rascal Flatts music video. Do you have any footage? And I sent him a video of me playing dueling banjos with my dad, and I got a message back like a couple hours later, like, you got it. Yeah.
So your dad plays banjo too?
No. He did guitar on that one. But he actually did play banjo back in the day. He was pretty badass.
Okay, so you had been in a Rascal Flatts music video mm-hmm. as the hot banjo player.
Yes, and that was with Big Machine. So I met Sandy Borchetta, who's Scott's wife, on that project. And so that was kind of my first introduction to Big Machine. I was just so excited to be a part of it. And then, so my song was going to be on the soundtrack. And so Scott Borchetta called me in to play a couple songs for him in the office. And then he came and saw a show that my brother Shannon and I were doing. And then shortly after that, I was offered a record deal with his new label branch, Dot Records.
And I have to say, Steven Tyler's on that label.
Steven Tyler is my label mate.
Do you know him?
I have met him, and he has given me a long, deep neck hug. I guess my hair smelled good.
So have you played some shows with some cool people?
Yeah, absolutely. Just a couple weeks ago, I got to open a show for Maddie and Tay, who
are
these
so cute,
super talented, sweet girls with some awesome songs.
Don't you feel like it's kind of the rise of the female right now in country music? I feel like there's this rumble happening where it's like everyone wants females back on the radio.
I definitely hope so.
You're a part of this movement.
Yeah, I hope so. There's a lot of badass chicks out there with all different kinds of styles and things like that. Like, it's just really cool to see, you know, like there's the badass chick, there's the sweet chick, there's the like vocal powerhouse chick coming up, and like then there's me all weird in the corner.
Oh my God. You are not weird in the corner. How would you describe yourself musically?
I'm about to go in and record some more songs. So I would describe my songwriting and what I want my sound to eventually be is kind of like a edgy, rootsy vibe, you know.
Okay.
With some grit.
Okay. If you had like to say a few musical icons that you look up to, who would it be musically, like that you wouldn't want to emulate but that you like mm-hmm. respect and you love their vibe?
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be like Stevie Nicks.
She's awesome.
Dolly Parton, and mixed in with a little bit of L. King.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm on board with that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. So you just recently played the Grand Ole Opry.
I did, yes, for the second time.
That's a big deal.
I'm so excited to be a part of that.
Because that's the mother church of country music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like when you get the invitation to play the Grand Ole Opry, it's like, you're legit. You have, you know, you are like, you're in the club. Yeah, you have to work hard. But, like, to get an invitation means you're not just, like, doing it for fun.
It was really cool. And the awesome thing about coming back and playing a second time was that, you know, it's all the same people and the same crew. And so you honestly just feel like a family member coming back. They're like, hey, Ashley, what's up? Oh, you like this and this with your stage setup and blah, blah, blah. So it was really cool.
That's awesome. Which songs did you play?
So for this time, I played some new songs. I played a song called Had a Few, which is like a really fun drinking, sexy song.
What's your favorite drink of choice?
Oh, my goodness. I think when I'm really thrown down, it's just straight whiskey.
What?
Yeah. I don't like to mix it with anything. I like to taste what I'm drinking and know exactly how it's going to make me feel.
How does whiskey make you feel?
Badass. Strong and badass. I'm going to come up and talk to you and pull you onto the dance floor.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
And then I'm going to rub coconut oil all over you.
Okay. So note to self, whoever goes on a date with Ashley, get her some whiskey.
You have to make me laugh first.
Yeah. If you want the coconut oil.
And not the nervous laughter. Not that, it's funny.
Like fake.
Yeah. Not fake nervous laughter.
Okay. 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 So you played that.
So
and then
I played
what
other song? Had a Few. It's called Had a Few.
Had a Few.
And then I played Remembering.
Okay. Love.
And then I played a new song that I wrote called Cry, which
What's
is like,
about?
I think that's my like boom song. Like, hey, this is Ashley Campbell.
Okay, tell me about Cry. So yes. This is like introducing Ashley Campbell.
I think so, yes.
Let's break it down for me, girl.
All right, so Cry mm-hmm. is a song about like when you get broken up with and you don't want to be broken up with. And so you're really sad. And the guy seems totally fine.
What an ass.
And you're just like, didn't I mean anything to you? And so the song, like the lyrics is, I hope you're crying in your bedroom. I hope you're just putting on a show. So it's like, cry, cry for me. I want to see you bleed.
Yes.
You just kind of want to see them in a little bit of pain so that you know that your pain's legitimate, you know?
Yes. Is this based on a true story?
It might be.
someone would break your heart?
A little bit, yeah.
What? I cannot even believe that.
Yeah.
Oh.
It happens.
No. No. Okay, we haven't met you the right guy yet. Because, girl, you are the full package. He must not have been a man yet.
Maybe not. He was just a boy.
He was just a boy. We need your man.
He was just a Peter Pan.
Exactly. There's a lot of those in Nashville.
Yeah, definitely.
They just haven't quite grown
up. They're everywhere.
They are everywhere. What is a Peter Pan exactly?
Oh, man. Just someone who just doesn't know what they want. They just don't want to settle down. And I'm not saying I want to settle down right now, but someone who's afraid to make a commitment.
Right.
Yeah. Peter Pan just flies away.
Yeah. Nope. So tell me about your fashion style, because you always look hands down fabulous. What's your go-to vibe?
Well, my go-to pieces are like some skin tight skinny jeans.
You got those legs.
Thank you.
Those legs faux days.
Skin tight skinny jeans, a comfy t-shirt, and a black leather jacket.
Okay. And you're like a badass.
Some ankle boots. Yeah.
Like badass entering the room.
Yeah. That's my go-to pieces.
Okay. And what are you most excited about for 2016?
I'm excited about making an album.
Okay. Do you have an idea of the songs you want on the album?
I do.
Like all of them?
Yep. All but maybe one. So I'm super excited, and I'm writing my album.
And you're writing every song?
Yeah.
So what is the range of the songs? Like, what do they span from?
It spans from everything to just from fun, like drinking, to like super serious, like my heart's broken and I'm watching you walk away with her into the sunset.
With her?
Yeah. Oh. So I get pretty deep in there, but yeah, it's good. It's just an honest album, and it's a lot of autobiographical stuff.
Okay, so every song has a little shred of truth in it.
Yeah, definitely.
I love that. I love authentic songs, like that you really feel like the person singing means.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I figure when I'm writing a song, like if I write about something that happened to me, odds are it's happened to someone else, because we're all kind of living within the same realm.
We're all in this thing together.
We're in the same realm of heartbreak, yeah.
Is it scary to put yourself out there in a song and be vulnerable and kind of like say that out loud?
Sometimes, yeah. I'm just hoping that the person that I wrote them about doesn't feel too bad.
Or feels terrible.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Ashley, I want to wrap up. Thank you so much for being on my show.
Thank you for having me. It's always fun chatting with you.
It is. And we still have a girls' night.
Absolutely.
Dinner.
Yes.
But I like to end my interviews with a little thing called Leave Your Light.
Okay.
So basically what that means is leave me some inspiration, something that inspires you, something that you want to inspire people with, just some sort of inspiration.
Okay. So I've been going by this motto for the last year because a very close friend of mine, who is like another father figure, he passed away last year from pancreatic cancer. And right before he went, when he was staying with us, he was a chef, and we would always leave dirty dishes in the kitchen and stuff, and he'd get really annoyed. And so he put up this cardboard heart on the fridge, and he wrote in Sharpie, "Leave everything better than you found it." And so after he passed away, I kind of kept that heart, and I've been applying it towards everything I do in life. So like even from like, oh, there's a piece of trash on the ground.
Pick it up.
Or all the way to like, oh, you're not feeling so great today. How can I leave you better than I found you? You know,
Ashley.
So that's kind of my inspiration right now.
So you are going out of your way to just do a little more good.
Yeah, exactly. Like when I get a selfish thought, like, well, I don't want to hang with you and make you feel better. I want to go in my room and watch Netflix. I'll say, you know what? That's not going to help anyone. So just little things like that, all the way to big things, you know, just anything you do, you kind of just use that motto as a mantra.
Okay. So not only are you amazingly talented, incredible, you have a sweet heart too on top of it. I mean, are you real? I'm going to pinch you. Yeah, there you are. Well, thank you so much for interviewing me.
Thank you.
You're the best.
You're the best, girl.
Bye.
Caroline, she's the queen of talking. Hey, what's on your mind? She's on the inside. She got the scoop on the ones to watch, on the ones that's hot. No one can do it quite like Caroline.
Caroline.
I hope you guys loved hearing from Ashley Campbell. She is such a little angel and ray of sunshine. Next week is an incredible episode because I have a world-famous, world-renowned producer, Tony Brown. This dude has produced over 100 number one songs. He has over 100 million album sales. All the artists that he has produced combined have sold over 100 million albums of sales. That's insane. He's produced Reba, Vince Gill, George Strait, Brooks and Dunn, Trisha Yearwood, Rodney Crowell, to name a few. He also did Lionel Richie's album that had all those duets with Blake Shelton, Jason Aldean, Darius Rucker, Tim McGraw. The list goes on. He's won a Grammy. He ran a record label, MCA Records, and he signed artists like, he signed some of the coolest artists ever, like Lyle Lovett, Kelly Willis, Alison Moore, Rodney Crowell. The Mavericks, he's called the founding father of alternative Americana country music. And he played freaking piano with Elvis Presley and Emmylou Harris. Are you kidding me? Y'all are not going to want to miss Tony Brown. So y'all tune in next week and make sure to subscribe on iTunes. Bye, y'all.